Okay. If you could all be seated, please. We're going to get started. Is this on? It's working. Hello, hello. We're going to get started. If you could all be seated. Thank you. Great, great. Well, welcome. Welcome to all of you. Welcome to CSIS. My name is Carl Meacham, and I am the new director of the Americas program here. After a decade of service on the Foreign Relations Committee, I'm taking over from Stephen Johnson, who led the Americas program for over 2 years. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank Steve for a great job that he's done in the program. Steve is an accomplished expert of Latin American affairs. He has more than 20 years of experience in the Western Hemisphere, spanning policymaking, policy advocacy, and public affairs in the Department of Defense, the Washington policy community, the State Department, and the U.S. Air Force. Steve really can't be replaced, so I'm really happy to succeed him. Steve, can you please stand, please? And folks, can you join me in a round of applause? Great, great. Thank you. Well, on to the event. As Brazil gears up for the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Summer Olympics, the U.S. And Brazilian governments are collaborating in support of these global sporting events. Cooperative efforts have focused on building economic opportunities for the U.S. private sector in Brazil, with an eye towards building subnational linkages and expanded commerce. This is a positive development. Closer commercial ties between the U.S. and Brazil are clearly beneficial for both countries. But at the same time, much of Latin America is looking to expand to trade and commercial arrangements in the region, but also around the world. The Pacific Rim countries especially are looking among themselves to expand commerce. Chile, Colombia, Peru, and Mexico signed an arrangement establishing a regional group called the Pacific Alliance for intra-regional trade, and these countries and Canada are also looking west to strike trade deals with Asian nations through the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, which also includes the United States. I might add that Chile, Colombia, Peru, and Mexico have trade agreements with the United States as well. And most recently, the United States has begun looking east to Europe to form a liberalized trade relationship with the EU. The EU-US trade agreement is of particular note, as many speculate that this agreement may actually turn into a North American or NAFTA EU agreement. Mexico already enjoys trade arrangements with the EU, and the Canada-EU agreement is imminent. So how does Brazil fit into the rising competitive commercial scheme of the Americas? Has Brazil missed opportunities to expand its markets by not developing trade agreements with the United States? Brazil finds itself increasingly reliant on its Mercosur partners for trade. So how will this decision bode for its future? To discuss collaborative efforts with Brazil in preparation for the 2014 World Cup and 2016 Summer Olympics and the bilateral relationship, the CSIS Americas program and CSIS's Project on Prosperity and Development are pleased to welcome Ambassador Tom Shannon, U.S. Ambassador to Brazil, and Rita Jo Lewis, Special Representative for Global Intergovernmental Affairs at the U.S. Department of State. Thank you for joining us for this timely and informative discussion. We all know both of these folks, so I'm going to be brief and talking about their illustrious careers. Ambassador Shannon was confirmed on December 24th, 2009, as U.S. Ambassador to Brazil. He recently served as Assistant Secretary of State for Western Hemisphere Affairs from November 2005 to November 2009. He's been a career member of the Senior Foreign Service, serving as Special Assistant to the President, Senior Director for Western Hemisphere Affairs at the White House from 2003 to 2005. He was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Western Hemisphere at the Department of State, where he was Director of Andean Affairs from 2001 to 2002. These are only some of his accomplishments. Rita Jo Lewis was appointed former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's Special Representative for Global Intergovernmental Affairs in January 2010. This is the first position of its kind. Her office is responsible for serving the global needs of U.S. intergovernmental officials and entities they represent. She also promotes effective local governance and local capacity building efforts and serves as a point of entry for the global needs of U.S. state and local officials. She reports directly to the Secretary of State. She leads the office that is charged with building strategic peer-to-peer relationships between the U.S. Department of State, U.S. state and local officials, and their foreign counterparts around the world. Ms. Lewis serves as the department's lead interlocutor in negotiating and executing agreements to solidify subnational cooperation and engagement efforts with the BRIC countries and with targeted countries in Asia, the Western Hemisphere, Africa, the Caribbean, and the European Union. After Ambassador Shannon and Special Representative Lewis give their opening remarks, Johanna Mendelson, our very able senior associate with the Americas program who has been active on this issue for decades, will moderate the discussion and question period. So without further ado, I give it to you, Ambassador Shannon.
Thank you very much, Carl. It's a real pleasure to be here, especially with Johanna Mendelson and Rita Jo Lewis. And I appreciate all of you taking the time this morning to come out and listen to us. We're very interested in engaging with you. So we're both going to keep our remarks fairly short and then open it up and hope to develop a dialogue or conversation of sorts talking about U.S.-Brazil cooperation, especially around big sporting events or mega events. And it's a real honor and pleasure to be here with Rita Jo because she and I have worked so hard on these issues and in the process have learned a lot about Brazil, but I think we've also learned a lot about what, for lack of a better term, we'll call sports diplomacy, but what is really much bigger than sports. In fact, when I arrived in Brazil a little over 3 years ago, I knew that the focus on the World Cup and in 2014 and the Olympics in 2016 were going to be a big part of what we were doing. They were going to be a big part of our commercial diplomacy as we tried to open space for American companies to engage in the infrastructure projects and the transportation projects and the telecommunications projects and in larger kind of security and ticketing and stadium management issues that are always a big deal around sporting events and mega events. And I also knew that we were going to have a larger political and diplomatic interest in the success of the Games, especially following the successful Olympics in China, because from our point of view, we wanted to be able to show that an emerging democratic power could produce games as well as an authoritarian power. And so we were quite committed to engaging with the Brazilians, quite committed to exploring how we could best create synergies and partnerships and relationships around the games. But as we dug deeper into this, we began to realize a few things. First of all, the Brazilians weren't newcomers to this process. Remember, they hosted the Pan American Games in the first decade of this century, and they have been doing a variety of other events, the World Military Games, the Maccabee Games. They will be hosting the Confederation Cup this year, and they will also be hosting World Catholic Youth Day. And although that's not a sporting event, that is going to draw what they expect to be between 1 and 2 million Catholic youth to Rio to meet the new pope, whoever that might be. And all of this creates enormous challenges for municipalities like Rio and for the federal government. But we recognize that the Brazilians had a fair bit of knowledge in terms of how to manage events. They'd had a series of successes and failures when it came to running large events, but they were getting better every time, and they were becoming experienced and useful interlocutors, and we were actually learning as much from them as we were able to impart. And so we decided that we needed to create structures that were going to enhance our dialogue and engagement. And the first was a memorandum of understanding on mega events, which was signed when President Obama visited Brasilia in 2011. And the idea was to create structures that would allow those parts of our government that don't normally talk to each other with great frequency to begin to focus on issues related to the events, especially around security. And we developed a series of structures in Brasilia that had the representatives of our embassy that work for the Department of Justice and Homeland Security engaging with their counterparts and then also engaging with the state secretariats of security that were going to be hosting World Cup games and other large events. Also, thanks to Rita Jo Lewis's unflagging energy and enthusiasm, we were able to negotiate and sign a subnational government agreement that was going to facilitate and has facilitated engagement between municipalities and states and other subnational entities. This was an important agreement to have with Brazil. It was only the second one we had done at that point. The first one was China. But the importance of it was to create not only the structures for engagement between subnational units, but more importantly, to bless it. Because the Brazilian government and the Brazilian Foreign Ministry in particular wanted to make sure that we weren't kind of outflanking and overrunning them as we engaged with a variety of entities in Brazil. And this allowed us to have a channel through the Foreign Ministry and through the federal government that facilitated our engagement with states and municipalities and other aspects of Brazil's federal and state and municipal structures. And this has turned out to be hugely helpful to us and of great interest because it has allowed Rita Joe to, and she will talk about this in some detail, to energize her contacts across the board who are dealing broadly with sports, entertainment, and how municipalities and states use sporting events and entertainment events not only to have a successful event, not only to reap the rewards and riches of that specific event, but how to use it to build a legacy, how to ensure that minorities or excluded populations participate in the business opportunities, how to ensure that sports training is sustainable over time, that you build a sports culture dedicated to social inclusion and athletic excellence, and how you begin to reshape Brazil's understanding of sports. And this will be my final comment, Brazil is in the midst of a sports revolution, a country which was mono sport for the longest time, soccer, what the Brazilians call futebol, is now a poly-sport country. And whether it's volleyball or basketball, whether it's the extreme sports, whether it's parasailing, whether it's ballooning or kayaking or surfing, the Brazilians not only do it with great cheer and energy, they do it with great success. In fact, for those of you who aren't aware of it, the World X Games are going to be taking place in Brazil in Foz do Iguaçu in April. And that's, again, just a sign of the tremendous energy and interest that exists in sports. But it's an energy and interest that has not been monetized yet. It's an energy and interest that really hasn't been structured in such a way that the benefits are evident not only to people who promote these events and use them for commercial purposes, but also how they can impact communities through the use of stadiums and athletic training centers. And so we have been working very hard to connect people here in the United States who are expert in this with people in Brazil in order to create sporting events that capture communities and that advance the broader goals and purposes of communities. And in Brazil right now, that's social exclusion. So let me stop there and just kind of summarize by saying we focused our diplomatic efforts on building the structures necessary to engage with the Brazilians. We've recognized from the beginning that these events were going to be transformative events, not only in how Brazil presents itself to the world and the kind of image it presents, but also in the way in which it uses those events to pursue democratic goals and to build what we call the content of democracy, which is all about including all aspects of our society in national projects and allowing them a voice in national destiny, but also using these events to enhance the individual capacity of people to achieve their own personal destinies, which ultimately is what democracy is all about. So thank you very much.
Just to follow up quickly with a few comments before we begin to take questions. Ambassador Shannon, it really, as we have said always from the very, very beginning, was, I would say, our very first adapter from an ambassador perspective and an embassy perspective that truly understood the engagement at the state and local level. And so it's always a privilege to be on a dais with you. And we thank Joanna and Carl for giving us another opportunity to talk about these issues that matter to each one of us in this room. You know, over the past 3 years, we've been working with the ambassador and his team and with our mission in Brazil and with our Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs. And so one of the things that we have definitely seen, as Ambassador Shannon has said, is that this subnational engagement effort really has taken on a life of its own, and it has truly energized a number of our relationships as we've been able to expand way beyond especially at the state and local level, really working even closer with our consulates. And that is really what's important because of the state and local relationships that we are trying to drive with our U.S. counterparts here, particularly at that governor, mayor, and county level with their counterparts in Brazil. And so this relationship began in Brazil with these agreements, but it also then allowed me to travel numerous times where I have actually visited 11 of the host cities and states that's going to be hosting the World Cup and the World Cup, the Olympics, and the Paralympic Games. During that travel, it really has allowed me and all of us from the not only from our own embassies and our consulates, but also members of the private sector and university partners and our NGO friends, and we're really happy that CSIS has been a partner in this with us, but to be in direct contact with leaders who have really provided an opportunity for us to bolster the collaboration that the ambassador spoke about. So we have really had the opportunity to meet with not only with governors and mayors who are the official hosting of the games, but really throughout their entire ministries. Even though we know that the Ministry of Justice is the prime focus on the security level and the Ministry of Sports is in charge of the federation for all of the games, and they have amassed not only the 12 states that are hosting the games, but they have amassed all of the state and local governments under this umbrella in terms of looking at mega sporting events. So our subnational efforts, as they have been created and implemented throughout other countries throughout the world, in Brazil, it always takes on, as it does in other places, it takes on a very targeted focus. And so that's why the mega sporting events was a key of interest, not only because we understood that it would be an opportunity for America to showcase its talents, it would be an opportunity for our governors and mayors here in the United States who have hosted mega sporting events, which are all too numerous to name, but also to be able to be in direct collaboration and partnerships with their counterparts. We have actually seen an uptick in the number of visits that the Brazilian state and local officials at all levels, not only the governors and the mayors, but their ministries traveling to the United States to meet with their counterparts here. But also we've seen more U.S. visitors taking much more targeted trips to Brazil. And I was just recently at the National Governors meeting a couple days ago, and so many of the governors were also informing us that Brazil was really high on their list, especially a number of the governors who really have hosted different types of sporting events that are not just from a summer focus. But as Johanna and I were saying, you know, they are really looking at all types of sports now to be able to provide and develop a culture of opportunity. And so that's why we have taken, not only have we, you know, I've traveled there, but have taken delegations that have also included individuals from our IDB, from the U.S. section, from our Minority Business Development Agency, our team at the Western Hemisphere who focuses on racial and social inclusion, USAID, and others, because we understand that it is a collaborative effort of all of our efforts that really will be able to have America put its best foot forward. And so at the request of the ministries on numerous occasions, having traveled there, we understand that there are fewer than 500 days until the start of the World Cup. And so we are moving rapidly on a number of fronts. And so with our diplomatic security team, they hosted, along with the FBI and a number of our security professionals, a recent best practices session in New Orleans at the Super Bowl. And this was the first time that not only were as our diplomatic team and our regional security officer has been working with Brazilians on the federal level, one of the things that was very clear was that we were able to have the inclusion of the NFL at this recent session, and also to make sure, as we have always done in the United States, operate on a unified perspective. And so Mayor Landrieu was a true partner along with the state in terms of as we work a federal, state, and local perspective of what we've been trying to talk about how we do events here in the United States. And so the security, so with that, there's going to also now be a after action where it's not going to just be the federal and the defense individuals. It's going to now, in May, be a effort that on the sidelines of the World Culture Economic Forum, which is going to be hosted by Mayor Landrieu and the U.S. Conference of Mayors in New Orleans, there's going to be a forum which is going to provide an opportunity not only for security professionals at the state and local level to interact with their federal officials, but also, more importantly, to interact with the state and local officials. And then we have been in discussions about it, and with the Brazilian government of making sure that the mayors have an opportunity, since this is a World Conference of Mayors forum, to have an opportunity to participate in sessions around major sporting events. And so we see a very strong opportunity for us to continue to be engaged in Brazil, and we look forward to discussing our additional efforts. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and again, welcome. Both your comments, Ambassador Shannon and Rita Joe, suggest a question that I think you've alluded to in your conversations, but perhaps let me open with a question that I think many people have in their minds, especially Rita Joe, since you just mentioned 500 days, that I think I saw everybody's eyes open up at this early hour of the morning. What do you think, Ambassador Shannon, is the major obstacle that you see facing the government of Brazil and also the private sector in bringing certain facilities up to speed, because that always becomes the news story a few weeks out before any event? And what are the things that the efforts of someone like Special Representative Lewis doing to help ameliorate some of these challenges, and what needs to be done going forward? I think both of you probably have some thoughts in your engagement with people in both the private and public sector, but it would be useful for us to hear a little bit more about what you see are the issues.
Well, let me start. Listen, the games, the World Cup, will be fine. 500 days is plenty of time. And there will be a few moments of sheer panic between now and then, but I'm quite confident that this is going to be pulled off. And one of the reasons I'm confident is that, you know, it's spread out across 12 cities and 12 states. And while it has a focus on Rio in particular, because that's where the championship matches will be held, the diversity of it I think has allowed lots of energy to be focused from different parts of the country, which will actually be very good for Brazil. But that said, I think one of the biggest challenges right now is sorting out what FIFA does and what everybody else does. Because FIFA is only responsible for the games. They're only responsible for what happens inside the stadium. And that's really the smallest part of a World Cup like this. And that's where we've been engaging. Because how you deal with the transportation issues, how you deal with the telecommunications issues, how you deal with the hotel and restaurant issues, how you ensure that you have enough English speakers available to deal with the influx of so many people from around the world, and how you ensure the security of the people who are coming and going from stadiums is in many ways the biggest challenges. And those are the ones that the Brazilians have actually been working on quite hard over the past several years. I mean, obviously, the stadium issues are the ones that get the biggest attention right now, and it's common for the Brazilian press to run stories with photographs of all the different stadiums in different stages of development, with a ticker kind of running underneath them saying, okay, Manaus has so many days, Porto Alegre has so many days, Sao Paulo has so many days to get all this done. And, of course, in the process of it, the workers in these stadiums have realized they have enormous leverage over the construction companies. And so there have been the strikes and threatened strikes and work actions as they all try to squeeze that very last little bit of compensation out of an event that's not going to happen again in Brazil for quite a while. But I'm confident that the games are going to be fine. I'm confident that they're going to be an exciting event. But the real issues, the ones that will either accelerate Brazil towards the Olympics or cause everybody to turn to Lula and say, why did you do this to us? Why are we doing two big events in such a short period of time is going to be what happens outside the stadiums.
I would tell you, I've never seen such a vibrancy in a place when you travel outside of their capital cities that we all know about, in terms of, we all understand Rio. We all have, you know, have understand São Paulo and Brasília. But it's when you actually travel into the places that are going to be hosting the games, like, you know, in Porto Alegre and Belo Horizonte and in the Amazonas and Salvador and places like that, that you really do see the vibrancy of a community that really has an opportunity, and they know they have an opportunity to come together. And so they are constantly seeking assistance, and it doesn't just have to come from the United States. Of course, we would love for it to come from the United States, because we see major opportunities that are not going to be just about the games. It's not going to be just about what takes place in the stadium in that short period of time. But it's really going to be about what happens around the stadium and what happens within the community. And so that's why the issues that Ambassador Shannon was speaking about in terms of community activation, about how do we take America's know-how and how do we partner with the Brazilian and the Brazilian government and the Brazilian people to be able to further their efforts in a successful games that is going to take place at the World Cup. And so, you know, in the delegations that we have recently taken and one that we're getting ready to take another one in March, you know, we really was able to develop opportunities where people were there to discuss the legacy of the games, to talk about how the business of sports in the United States is a business. And it is not just because in those stadiums, which are predominantly owned by the government, they really are seeking ways to how do we turn these beautiful facilities that are being put in these communities, whether they're been upgraded or whether they're building brand new ones. It is not just about that small moment in time. And so as the Brazilians are constantly working with their private sector, the private sector individuals that we have gone through throughout the business councils, whether they've been on the American side or the Brazilian side, they want partnerships and they want opportunities and they want to work way beyond the level of people that just participate or sponsor the games traditionally. And so what we always like to say is that there are many more opportunities there for individuals to engage in Brazil. And one of the things that we constantly tell people is that as you present things to the Brazilians, even though it's just so easy for us to just send down the English version, it is like, are we actually taking the next step and putting it in Portuguese so that you do not have that time lag? Because we're all in a very time-sensitive perspective in terms of preparation. And so you want, whether it's American business, whether it's universities, whether it's, you know, governments, it's like being prepared to move fast and quick and to be very, very targeted. And it's not just happening in Rio, like I said. It's not just happening in São Paulo. It is happening throughout that country. And that is where we see also great and additional opportunities.
Thank you. And I guess the audience probably has lots of thoughts similar to the ones we've expressed. What I'd like to do is we have two microphones. And if you'll identify yourself when you raise your hand, I'm going to take them in groups of questions. I see a gentleman's hand popped up over here and one from Paulo Sotero. Anybody on this side? Or we can take these three questions and go ahead. Thank you. Please, sir?
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, David Hinson, U.S. Department of Commerce. I will say that it's been a joy working directly with Special Representative Lewis on this effort to create economic inclusion around Brazil's social inclusion goals. Ambassador, it's good to see you. For those of you who have not been to Brazil, the ambassador knows how to throw an extraordinary reception. And if you need a vacation spot, his pool is really something to die for. What I want to do is just ask a quick question, Rita and Ambassador, about the economic opportunities when you look at the issue of social inclusion and economic inclusion goals. Simply, how do you get into the market with 500 days left on with the World Cup and in a relatively short window for the Olympic Games? You know, how do we get our companies in? What steps do we need to take, both as a governmental entity and as private sector companies, to participate in that market? Thank you.
Thank you. Let me take a question, Paulo Sotero.
Hi, Paulo Sotero from the Brazil Institute at the Wilson Center. I have two observations I would like to Ambassador and Ms. Lewis react to. I think that, well, thank God there is a presidential election and gubernatorial election between the World Cup and the Olympics. And I think that will be a great motivator for stadiums and everything that needs to be ready to be ready. The panic moment is really about the involves the team, not the, or the World Cup. It doesn't involve. Going to the ambassador's observation about Brazil has a long history of that. I am amazed that the narrative has not included. We started in 1950. Brazilians don't talk about that. But in 1963, Brazil, São Paulo, hosted the first Pan American Games. It was hosted at where today is the best university in Brazil, at Cidade Universitária in São Paulo. And that legacy, to talk about legacy, has been lost. And it's not part of the narrative. The Pan American Games of 1963 is not really mentioned. And it led to the building of the main campus of the best university in Latin America. So I think it may be, as you talk and dialogue with our friends, I think this would be, and I believe that it was lost in the narrative because of what happened in 64, and when Cidade Universitária became a battlefield of well, those who of a certain age remember. But I just wanted to throw this in because I think there is something missing here. The legacy is important, and there is a history about it.
I saw a hand in that corner before, and then I'll get to you. Once again, please identify yourself.
Diane Lamb, Sikorsky Aircraft Corporation. I know we've been working with the Brazilians on some equipment to help with the security at the games. But I'm also interested in finding out a little bit about the financial aspects of the games, the contributors, what sorts of funds might be available to industry to help them with the opportunities for the games.
Let's have you take those questions, and we'll go for a second round. We have until 9:45, so there's plenty of time for all your questions. And Ambassador or Rita Jo, whoever wants to start.
I'll start and then ask Rita Jo to make sense of it all. In terms of the economic opportunities, this is something we've been working on for quite a while. In fact, when I arrived in Brazil in February of 2010, we went straight to the World Urban Forum, where there was a large U.S. presence led by our Secretary for Housing and Urban Development. That created, in turn, a series of relationships between Rio de Janeiro and other cities in the U.S., in particular Philadelphia, to focus on sustainable growth models. It also helped launch a larger urban pacification program in Rio, linking security to the games. In fact, the mantra of both the mayor of Rio and the state of Rio was safe games, safe city. The idea being that you could use security around the games to reshape the nature of Rio de Janeiro. And then very quickly, we became the focal point of trade missions. Not all of them games-focused or oriented, but many of them connected in tangential is the wrong word, but not connected directly to the games, but obviously focusing on infrastructure and hotels and restaurants and the service industries that were going to be so important to the games. And then Ex-Im Bank has also been working on building facilities that will allow the financing of some of these activities, especially in Rio de Janeiro. We have a very, very strong foreign commercial service team in Brasilia. Our senior foreign commercial service officer, Brian Brisson, is here today with us. Brian, if you could raise your hand. And Ligia Pimentel, who is one of our Brazilian staff that works in our Foreign Commercial Service office, quite expert on all things related to the games. And we're open for business. Commercial diplomacy really is our number one priority. It has been for quite some time, but it's becoming even more kind of sharply defined as we get deeper into this process, because we're realizing not only the advantages in building a commercial relationship between Brazil and the United States, but also the enormous potential that exists in that relationship. And if I could just mention a few quick items to help put this in perspective. I mean, all of you realize that Brazil right now is bouncing between number 6 and number 7 in the world economy kind of rankings, depending on what the exchange rate is right now. And companies like Goldman Sachs, you know, who tend to make a lot of money out of their projections, believe that Brazil will probably be the fourth largest economy in the world by mid-century. but as we consider those macro numbers, it's important to take a look at kind of the sectoral numbers. And Brazil has been very, very good in its, as it builds its economy, of pushing wealth out into society and attacking the poverty that has existed in Brazil over time, and expanding the size of the middle class, which is now over 50% of the country, but which by 2020 we expect to be close to over 60% of the country, with the lower classes, the D and E sectors, the lowest of Brazil's economic and social classes, actually reduced to only about 16% of the population. And while the Brazilian middle class is not an American middle class, it is a consuming middle class. It is an economically ambitious and aspiring middle class. But the other story is that as Brazil has pushed people out of poverty and into the middle class, it has also pushed people out of the middle class into the upper middle classes and the upper classes. In fact, the growth levels in the A and B sectors of Brazil society are quite impressive. And why is this important? It's important because Brazil is becoming one of the most important consumer markets in the world. And by 2020, the assumption is that it will be the fifth largest consumer market in the world. And even though a lot of this consumption in the short term has been driven by credit, the reality is that as more and more Brazilians enter the job market, as more and more of them enter the formal economy, there is more and more disposable income. And this is what has driven so much of Brazil's economic growth right now. And it's one of the reasons why I mentioned that Brazil is on the verge of a sports and entertainment revolution. Because just as people can sell iPads and music and refrigerators and computers and other aspiring economic things, capital goods to people, they can also sell experiences. And sports is going to be a huge experience, not just the watching of sports, not just the branding of sports and the wearing of jerseys, but also the participating in sports. And for sports management professionals, for those who manage athletes, who manage events, or who figure out how you monetize hang gliding, there's enormous amount of money to be made.
You know, just piggybacking on Ambassador Shannon's comments, David, the question you asked about economic opportunities was very important to the different meetings that we've all taken and the delegations that we've all participated in Brazil, because there it's not just about the large companies, but it's also about the medium and the small. It's also about companies that are women-owned, and it's also about companies that are owned by Afro-Brazilians. And so when you talk about where we see opportunities, it really is going to be the opportunities for partnerships. It is finding the right Brazilian partners in order to assist your efforts in entering a market quicker and to be able to understand that market and understand where those relationships are. And so the Brazilian government at the state and local level, what we have definitely found with working with their ministries of economic development and trade and investment, they really have set themselves in a posture that they are really seeking partners, not just from the United States, but of course for all around the world, where you have business opportunities. And so when Ambassador Shannon talks about, you know, the business of sports and being a revolution now in Brazil, we saw very clearly in this last delegation, and that's one of the reasons why we're going to have a second delegation coming up in the second week of March, about the sports and entertainment. And we'll give you one example. We had we were fortunate to have on the trip Michael Bidwell, who is the owner, president of the Arizona Cardinals. And so he went because from an NFL perspective, they're very interested in Brazil. They're, and as the NFL is from a sports league overall. But his experiences to be able to sit with the different ministries at the federal and state and local level when we were in Brazil to talk about how the Arizona Cardinals have monetized what they've done, and that this is a business, that not only it is a business, it is a very serious business, and it really does move away from just what takes place in the stadium, but when the games are over. But the fact that, you know, he talked about almost every day of the year, something is taking place at the Arizona Cardinals Stadium and around the stadium. He talked about how working with the state government and the local government in terms of the things that they wanted to do about infrastructure development. He talked about what the Cardinals and the team members mean to the community and how the development of host committees, things that have not really been within the grasp of people because they've been all looking at what is FIFA going to do, but really it's more about what is the community going to do. And so in our engagements with one of their largest organizations that focuses on small business called Sebrae, working through councils like the Brazil Coalition of Industries and our own U.S. Brazil Council and American Chambers, we've been able to continue to talk about how the matches can be made with American companies and American businesses. And that's where we also see that the model that has been talked about so much in this administration is about driving public-private partnerships is also really, really critical because the government really owns a lot of the assets. And the government is really, you know, really one of the biggest dominant players in this entire effort in the transformation of Brazil. And so we have seen and have been able to facilitate a number of the Brazilian governors coming, working with our Department of Commerce and our Export Bank and our OPIC to develop very large projects. One other in particular was where the governor of Pernambuco was building the largest aquarium where Export Bank has awarded them through a lot of work on the Brazilians' part as well as on the Americans' part and showcasing a project that he wants to have ready for the games. But if you think about a state in the north, we're going to know more about all of these states and cities when this game is over. I mean, I have now people saying to me, well, what is Natal like? What is, you know, all of these Belo Horizonte? What are the names that are not that are familiar to us in this room are going to be more familiar to not just people in America, but people around the world. They're going to go to the north, and they're going to see places like Recife and others that are really going to be in a transformative nature because, you know, Rio is beautiful, but then they're going to find out they can go to the north and see the growth and vibrancy of what's going to be taking place because of the games. And so when you talk about and ask the question about funds that are available, we've really seen in our conversations with, especially at the state and local level, that they are really making and have made a very concerted effort about the public-private partnerships around all of the things that are going to need to be taking place, whether it is housing, whether it is through what it will take place in that stadium, whether it is around youth activation. I mean, you name it. It really is, and I think will continue to be long after the games are over, an open opportunity for many years and decades to come. Because one of the things that we also heard, as Ambassador Shannon said, in terms of, you know, coming in and looking from our commercial diplomacy, every city and state that we went in, they all talked about the fact of the upgrades of their infrastructure, upgrades of their airports, upgrades of transportation, upgrades of mobility. These are things that American companies and American know-how has been doing in our state and locals in conjunction with our federal government for decades. And so people who are in this room understand how these types of efforts have transformed communities, but it truly is a federal, state, and local effort in conjunction with the private sector. It is not going to happen by government alone, and that's where private sector players, I think, come into play and will be able to continue to push different types of projects and opportunities there.
Carl, did you have a question?
Yeah, sure.
Good, please.
I'm reserving my director's prerogative here. Could you elaborate a little bit on or walk us through a little bit on the process of matching U.S. investors to these Brazilian states or governments? There are folks that have certain difficulties in doing some of these, a little bit of business with Brazil. And I was hoping you could touch on that a little bit. I know the ambassador's here and does a wonderful job of talking about all the things that are right with Brazil, and there are many of them. So
it's very clear. But we hear from some business that there are some challenges in making these business relationships. I was hoping you could talk us through a little bit on how you match U.S. investors to relevant states or sectors or areas where they're interested in participating.
It was Tom Jobim who said that Brazil is not for beginners. And it's Tom Shannon who says Brazil is not for short-timers. It's important to understand, as people look at business opportunities in Brazil, Brazil doesn't do traveling salesmen. It doesn't do people that knock on the back door and offer to sell them a pot or a pan or to sharpen their scissors. It's about relationships more than it is about deals. And it wants to engage with people who are intent on Brazil's success, intent on developing partnerships with Brazilian companies, and intent on leaving behind either human resource development or technological and industrial development of one sort or another. Which, of course, doesn't mean that there aren't deals to be done there. They are. They just have to be done with a certain understanding and in a certain context. The matching is a complicated process because at the end of the day, we're not a dating service. But we are trying to find a way to ensure that companies that come down with specific interests understand the playing field they're operating in, understand the challenges that they're going to face, both their bureaucratic challenges, their labor liability challenges, their tax challenges, but also we're going to help them try to talk to partners or potential partners that would be in a position to guide them through the complexities that is Brazilian business right now. And the Brazilians are aware of all this. The Brazilians understand that in many ways their economy and the demands of their economy have outgrown not only the infrastructure that the economy sits on, but has also outgrown the human resource base and the regulatory structures and the tax structures that the economy sits on. And Brazil is using events like the World Cup and the Olympics to highlight this and to try to drive through changes. Changes, for instance, in licensing and permits for buildings, which in Brazil is quite a chore and involves a lot of effort trying to address issues of importing things. Brazil, it takes about 17 days for goods to clear port in Brazil when they come in to Brazilian ports. And Brazil has significant issues when it comes to express delivery. And all of this is going to have a huge impact on the success of the games, because anybody who's familiar with what happened in China and London realized that it was American express delivery companies that made those games successful. I mean, if it's not for those express delivery companies, the shot puts and the javelins and the shoes and the horses don't get there. And they don't get into country in a timely way that allows the athletes to actually perform. And you can imagine what the Olympics would look like if everybody showed up, at the swimming pool or at the track and athletic events, and they had no shoes to run in and nothing to throw or nothing to push or nothing to swim through. And that's not an impossibility without addressing some of these issues. But I would say that, and again, I'll point to Brian Brisson, our senior commercial officer, who's one of our most experienced commercial officers when it comes to Brazil and South America, but especially Brazil. And he and his team and the rest of our embassy are prepared to work with anybody that wants to understand better the environment that is Brazil for commerce and investment, but is especially looking for help in navigating some of the more shallow and dangerous waters, but is also looking for potential partners.
I would just like to add that, I look at opportunities at the state and local level, and I say to our U.S. Companies and as well as even our leaders that it is not just about us. It is really about the Brazilians. And I think all too often we are, as Ambassador Shannon saying, people are trying to run into Brazil like it's a deal. It is not that kind of place. It really is about relationships. We cannot emphasize that enough. And I think that we've been successful at the subnational level of encouraging more U.S. State and local leaders, from governors and mayors and county officials, to go with their delegations to Brazil to continue to expand on their opportunities for their particular, not only for their companies but also for their universities and different medical centers. We understand that it is the relationship that then allows, because of the visits that we've had, because of the success that the embassy has done in being so aggressive at the consulate level, we've now seen even an additional uptick of Brazilians that are coming now to the United States with their delegations at the state and local level. And so we like to, what we call, we're setting the table. I mean, the match really is going to take place when people take it upon themselves to do what you do. And that's why we are always engaged not only with the federal officials, but are constantly meeting with the business community. The other area that also I see great opportunities when we are talking to our particular business leaders is that the Brazilians also need a great deal of or looking for partners around corporate social responsibility efforts, especially around young people. We know about the youth bulge in Brazil. And a lot of those young people are not going to be able to get into the games. But the games has the ability to have a great benefit for them in the years ahead that go way beyond education, but it can also be about entrepreneurship. And so for companies who do things well here in the United States, we're saying to them, when you have these kinds of efforts, whether they're around entrepreneurship, whether it's around how women can be much more engaged, how it can be around Afro-Brazilians and indigenous communities can be more engaged, why not take those same efforts that companies and organizations do so well here in the United States? And also, as you're developing that relationship, talk to those leaders around those kinds of projects, because they are listening and they want that type of America know-how, and they want that ability to engage in those kinds of projects. And so we are truly at the state and local level, all, especially in the from the U.S. perspective, working with the embassy around making sure that those leaders who engage in those delegations really do have the political, understand the political and the economic situation in that country, because it is so important for them to be as briefed as they possibly can. That goes way beyond just how can they, introduce an American company from their state and city to, you know, someone in Brazil. It's really about how can they continue to build that relationship. And so the governors and mayors in Brazil have been very welcoming to the U.S. State and local leaders who have been traveling there with their business delegations. They have really turned their ministries of trade and economic development and education and the environment. They have really been setting the table for the conversations to actually take place, but not just the conversations, but for agreements to actually get done. And we're really seeing, that this is really serving these types of trips are really serving the state and local leaders well, because at the end of the day, all of these people are trying to create jobs. If they lead, they're about job creation. And what we've really seen is that on both sides, that's the conversation. It's taking place here in the United States, as we very well know. And when they go to Brazil and engaging with those leaders, they too are looking at how they are going to create jobs. Thousands and thousands of jobs are going to be created in Brazil just for the World Cup. And the Olympics. And so these jobs, many of them, some of them will go away, but a lot of them will become institutionalized. And then it's going to be great opportunities, especially for young people who have not been engaged, but from an entrepreneurship perspective, this is where they will be able to take their businesses, and their ideas to the next level. And so that's why we're really, it's important for us to always drive the fact that our leaders at the state and local level, and is of course at the federal level, work with our Department of Commerce, because our Department of Commerce, I mean, they're the expert. I mean, Brian has assisted the delegations, not just the ones we do from the federal government, but his team has assisted these state and local leaders to be able to go much deeper with their delegations and make sure that the opportunities, not only to have an understanding of the opportunities, but the ability to make sure that the table is set with the right kinds of people and the right kinds of partners. And we really could not do that without, working as President Obama says, in a whole of government approach. It's how do we bring everybody to the table so that when a Brazilian leader comes, and some they were here just recently. We had over 20-odd secretaries of administration, strategic planning, and budget. And these are the individuals who came under a program with the Brazilian embassy to tour around the United States to look at issues around accountability and transparency. They had private sector partners also with them. But what we did when they asked us to talk with them from the State Department's perspective is that we looked and wanted to make sure that the table was set with all of our government leaders. And that's why we looked at not just from our Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs, but to look at our whole economic section, to bring Department of Commerce, to bring Export Bank. They were already going over to the IDB because they were also a partner, but also to look at OPIC and others who could be there and work directly with these types of individuals. And so it was very important for us because at the state and local level, these were the secretaries that are really have the charge with the responsibility of all of the money and the procurement and the budgeting that is going to take place around what they do in their daily lives, but definitely around the Olympics and the World Cup. And so we were more than happy to assist that team and work with the Brazilian embassy in their visits when they left Washington and went to places like New York and others.
Thank you. We have a bunch of questions. I saw a gentleman up front here and two more questions back here. I'm sorry.
Good morning. My name is Ovidiu Bujoran, and I manage the Global Innovation Through Science and Technology, GIST initiative. You spoke a lot about the necessity of involving the entrepreneurial community so to make the most after the Games. In March, the Global Entrepreneurship Congress will be hosted in Rio this year. So I was wondering if you have any thoughts on how you can involve and use that platform that brings about 2,000-3,000 entrepreneurs from around the world, plus from Brazil, to kind of connect it with the games and with the business related to sports.
Great question. Ray Wassel.
Mr. Ambassador, this will be directed to you. Is there a chance that when we look up in the skies over the stadiums at the Olympic Games that we might see F-18s flying across in the streaking across the sky when they open the games? I opened that with a jest, but how do you see sort of the security relationship evolving? I understand that Southcom, DOD are very much involved in working in the process leading up to the Olympics, and how do you see that going over the next couple of years?
Thank you, Ray. I'm going to take the liberty. There's a gentleman up front here and somebody over here who wants to ask a question, and we'll take the four because we're running short of time and lots of good questions.
Thank you. My name is Jürgen Griesbeck. I'm CEO of Street Football World. We are focusing on soccer for social change and have been mandated with the social legacy of the Euro Championships in 2008-12 and with the FIFA World Cup in 2010 and 2014. We're both based in the US and Brazil. My two questions would be, one, if on the back of, let's say, the business dialogue with the sport entities, entertainment entities, if you include the social impact element to it, both as a differentiator and as a business opportunity, also recognizing that there's a very critical, active, and organized civil society in Brazil. And the second question would be, how do you leverage the incentive law systematically as U.S. companies that are already in Brazil?
Thank you. There's a gentleman here. There were actually two questions here. Why don't we take those two and then let you have this as a final round because we'll probably run out of time. Yes.
Okay. Couple of questions. One, what keeps you up at night? I'm sorry. I'm Jerry Brown with the Institute of Economic Sovereignty. One question, what keeps you up at night? Second question, what do you see our competitors economically doing? What do you see the Chinese doing? What do you see the EU doing? And then a comment, I wouldn't worry about not having javelins or shoes. Brazilians will make it a great time. It will be a lot of fun. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Question, sir?
Clay Lowry from Rock Creek Global Advisors. I think it's a question for Ambassador Shannon. It goes to Carl's question, which is really a policy issue, which is sometimes the Brazilians take some policies that can be slightly tough for foreigners to compete in, and I was thinking actually along the lines of infrastructure. There's an area of reinsurance on infrastructure, for instance, where It appears that they're taking sort of an anti-competitive stance. Is this something that can be addressed during this, these in relation to these sporting events, or is there a way to address, and it doesn't just have to be reinsurance, but those type of policy questions?
Thank you, Gil. You want to start, Ambassador Shannon, and we'll see how much time, and then Special Representative Lou.
Sure. Just working through the questions and the comments. You know, in terms of entrepreneurship, I didn't realize this was taking place, but I'm glad it is because it'll actually be a very interesting platform from which to engage Brazilians on the linkage between entrepreneurship and sporting events and everything related to sporting events. It's worth noting that Brazil, you know, for all of the focus on a heavy state presence in the economy, is one of the fastest growing in terms of entrepreneurship. In fact, I really believe that, you know, we're kind of in a free enterprise decade in Brazil right now. We're starting to see some fundamental changes in how Brazil does business. And the fact that a PT government, you know, is effectively privatizing is the wrong word, but they're opening concessions for airport management. They're looking at private public-private partnerships for funding and construction of major infrastructure. The Brazilians have a roadshow on the road right now. It was up in New York yesterday. It's going to be heading for London soon. Talking about these public-private partnerships, I think really highlights that the Brazilians recognize that, you know, state-driven economies don't cut it anymore. And while the state has a very important role to play, a very important regulatory role, a very important balancing role as far as the Brazilians are concerned, that ultimately growth in productivity and competitiveness are going to require new ways of doing business. And entrepreneurship is going to be an important part of that. In fact, I was looking through some documents the other day when I was flying up here. And right now, you know, Brazil has one of the highest levels of new companies starting per year. Something over 300,000 new companies are starting each year in Brazil right now. And more interestingly, majority of these companies last more than 2 years. So they're not just kind of fireflies. I mean, they tend to find a way to establish a niche for themselves. And in fact, according to what I was reading, it says that Brazil is ahead of the United States in terms of the percentage of new entrepreneurs starting business. About 15% of all Brazil's new businesses are started by first-time entrepreneurs. We're about 12%. And half of these new businesses are being started by women, which is very striking. So, I mean, there's an emerging entrepreneurial culture there that's going to be very interesting. And how we connect it to these larger events is going to be very, very interesting. In terms of the security relationship, these games have been a huge boon for us in terms of building a security relationship with the Brazilians, because for the longest time, the Brazilians were prepared to work with us on perimeter security, but not on the inner workings of security, especially on intel cooperation and law enforcement cooperation, how you track people of interest. And we found that's all changed. That the Brazilians are prepared to work with us very closely, and not just us, but other partners, you know, who have been working on security around big games, the British in particular, who have done it well. So in that sense, we've actually gone very far in a very short period of time. And I won't comment on F-18 streaking across the skies of Brazil. my hope is that anything that streaks across the skies of Brazil will be Brazilian. but obviously, you know, we're very, you know, Boeing has a great relationship in Brazil, and they've done a wonderful job in connecting with the major Brazilian players in the airlines and civil aviation and military aviation business, and highlighting the tremendous advantages that accrue to Brazil, not only in terms of the quality of the fighter aircraft they might be able to acquire, but more importantly, to the whole supply chain relationship that a company like Boeing has and already has established with companies like Embraer. And, you know, in terms of social impact and Brazil's civil society, this is a really interesting issue. And it's one that Rita Jo has been working hard on. It's one of the primary focuses of our connection at the subnational level, because the fact that FIFA controls stadiums is a problem when it comes to social impact, because they control what advertising goes in the stadiums, they control what gets sold in the stadiums. And so the effort, for instance, to harness the games to address issues that we have worked on within JPR, which is our, you know, joint action plan to fight racism and ethnic discrimination, and to use sporting events, you know, to pull in kind of historically excluded communities, not only give them business opportunities, but give them sports and training opportunities and expanded kind of visibility. And just to run public campaigns, you know, around the games, you know, whether they be focused on social issues or health issues or you name it. I mean, the potential is huge. And that's where what happens outside the stadiums and the immediate environment outside the stadiums is going to become so important. And that's where, you know, pulling on in the expertise of people who have done this elsewhere in the United States is going to be so important. You know, I sleep really well. I got to tell you, there's not much that keeps me up at night right now. And that's not being, you know, facetious. It's just that Brazil is on a really positive track. And I consider myself blessed because so many of my colleagues, so many of U.S. ambassadors around the world wake up every day wondering how they're going to avoid disaster and wondering how they're going to keep chaos beyond the embassy walls. I don't worry about that right now. I really worry about how we deepen this relationship and how we accelerate the relationship so that we can take full advantage of it. Because we're both big countries, we're both ambitious countries, we're both involved, you know, really into ourselves, and trying to figure out how we relate to a larger world, and therefore, you know, we have to kind of stay connected with each other. Because I think if we do so, you know, the synergies that come from that and the potential for the well-being of both of our citizens is really big. And then, and, you know, in regard to bigger policy issues, you know, reinsurance in particular, this is one we've been working hard on. For those of you who don't understand this issue, and it took me a long time to figure it out, you know, when you do big infrastructure projects, single companies typically can't assume the insurance, and so you end up splitting up insurance and. And again, you need an engineering degree to figure it out. But effectively, it enhances your ability to do large public infrastructure projects and other projects that have huge insurance risks. And we were headed in the right direction on reinsurance with the Brazilians, and then they pulled back for a period of time, largely because of financial and insurance interests inside Brazil. In other words, they were responding to the internal political and economic pressures to kind of prevent the entrance of some reinsurance providers. And it became a complicated issue for us. It still is. There have been some tweaks that have favored external or foreign insurance providers that have been steps in the right direction, but we still have a long ways to go. But what we find, you know, in working with the Brazilians on this, is that this is indicative of what happens when economies move really fast and not everybody moves at the same speed, because you get parts of economies that either have been protected or have enjoyed certain contract benefits and who are either reluctant to give them up or don't feel that they can compete with others coming in from the outside. And so the tendency for them is to try to protect themselves. But what we have found over time is that the ability to convince government to protect them only lasts so long, because the pressures begin to build. And what's striking in the reinsurance business is that it's going to become very clear, especially as Brazil goes out and is doing these roadshows right now on infrastructure, that it's going to be really hard for them to get some of the commitments on the public-private partnerships and some of the funding commitments without a more robust kind of reinsurance environment. So, you know, we've got a lot of these very discrete issues that we have to work through. But what we're finding is that we don't have to do that alone anymore, because as the Brazilians begin to bump up against the consequences of some of these protective actions, they're realizing that they have to make a choice. You know, they continue providing this protection, which means slowing down their economy, slowing down the ability of their consumers to get certain kinds of products, or do they start finding ways to open up in these areas?
The United States, as we all know, has a very large diaspora community. So with the this entrepreneurship summit, this, I think, it's another example of where entrepreneurs in this country will see a great chance to not only learn about partners but to acquire those kinds of partners. And we just want to continue to emphasize, you know, as we work with our Department of Commerce and work with our Minority Business Development Agency, which has a partnership now with SBRI, which is a parallel organization, which is an organization that's very similar. This might be an opportunity for our entrepreneurs in the U.S. to be engaged in something like this, which will not only just bring, you know, Brazilian entrepreneurs to the table, but those from around the world. As Ambassador Shannon said, his regional officer has had a great relationship on the security side with the Ministry of Justice and the Mega Sporting Events Bureau teams, who have been responsible and who are responsible for security. And what we have seen is a great deal of movement in the last 3.5 years from our travel of dealing with state and local leaders, because each and every one of them talked to us and spoke with us about the fact that they wanted to learn also from what our state and local leaders were doing here when they hosted, you know, mega sporting events, everything from, you know, festivals to Super Bowls to parades to summits and the like. And so we see it is been very important that those officials from the federal level not only came, we've been working with them for over 3 years now, but not only then came to, you know, one of our largest events that happens in the United States, the Super Bowl, but to be interested with not just the law enforcement officials, but officials across the board that deal with public safety. And that is what is so important. And we think the after action that's going to take place in New Orleans with Mayor Landrieu will show, it will be an opportunity to showcase with Brazilian federal, state, and local public safety and law enforcement officials that this is, you know, be able to showcase our unified approach. And when I had an opportunity to sit with the three-star general and the minister who handles mega sporting events from the security side, they really gained a great deal being able to participate at the Super Bowl, but also when they saw NFL in action. They understood and saw that NFL was like their FIFA. And so during that time, the law enforcement officials also brought in the private sector security teams. And a lot of them basically voiced that they really didn't understand that, you know, when a CEO or the celebrity or the athlete comes into play, that there is a different level of security that is going to be around them that goes way beyond just what's going to take place with the community, with citizens, and with just, you know, and with the leaders that are going to be there in great numbers in Brazil. So they had the private sector security teams who are sponsors of the games and who are going to be involved in the games really participating also in those kinds of sessions to let them know that there is a whole different aspect. And they went back to understanding that that is another type of, they're going to have to develop a strategy around that. And they were really welcoming of those private sector officials that were there and the NFL officials that were there to really be able to talk them through and walk them through how the balance and how the push-pull actually takes place so that you can then move forward on a successful game. And when you spoke about, you know, soccer, I will tell you that in all of our travels throughout Brazil, they're really interested in every kind of sports. They're interested in figure skating. They're interested in swimming. We know the NBA is there now. We know the NFL is there now. But they're interested in extreme sports and skateboarding. I mean, this is going to be a great opportunity for those in this country who either are the athletes, the managers, the marketers, the sponsors, to really be able to work with the community, work with civil society, and work with government as they begin to push and develop all of these different types of activities. And that's why they have shown great interest in our President's Council on Physical Fitness. They've shown great interest in understanding at the state and local level how parks and recreation really have been able to expand, especially around stadiums when they've been built. They really are looking at deepening their understanding about how all of these partnerships are formed. And so civil society is going to play a major, major role in this and has the ability move the country forward, because each issue, each time we have gone into dealing with the state and local leader and with their ministries, they are all talking about issues around racial and social inclusion. They're all talking around issues around youth activation and about how they get more women involved, not just from the economic perspective, but also how do they get women involved in more along the athletic side, how do they get them involved in the business of sports. And so from when you say what we do I see the competition is doing, I continue to see the competition is just being as aggressive, being very aggressive. Other countries are there. They're there in great numbers, and they're not just in Rio and São Paulo and Brasilia, which we all go to and we all love, but they are really spanning out around that country. And they're moving not just with the 12 cities that are engaged in the games, but they're moving throughout all of the states and localities in Brazil because, you know, as Ambassador Shannon said, it's a great consumer market. And it is a market where these are individuals who want and they see how there is opportunities to around these games, and what we're saying is seize the opportunities. Look at places like what happened in Atlanta. Look at what happened out in Utah. Look at what happened out in places that continuously host games, whether it's the Chicago's, the Indianapolis, the Floridas. I mean, we throughout our country host games and festivals and summits all the time. And now they are really looking to learn from that and see where they can find partnerships, where they can find opportunities to move things forward. And so for us, as Ambassador Shannon said, I think we all try to sleep good at night. But the most important thing is, I would say the only thing that really, you know, keeps on my mind all the time is how can we continue to educate in the world that I work in all the time in terms of state and local leaders about the opportunities there are in Brazil, about not only about the challenges, but to always be talking to them about the opportunities and the ability to develop relationships. And that is what we spend a great deal of time on, not just about Brazil, but also with the other countries in which we work on at the subnational level.
Thank you so much.
That was wonderful. We really appreciate you coming here to share these views with us on how Brazil and the U.S. are collaborating in support of these global events. This is a very important relationship, and I think we're lucky to have these two exemplary public officials leading the way. So with that, can we thank them and applaud?